Well, hello, my friends. Welcome back. Today I'm in South Dakota, and it's November of 2022, and I'm just really excited. I was staying with a friend of mine that has to be a game warden, and he was telling me that their harvest reports are really, really good this year. And, you know, I spent a couple of years of having to work pretty hard to get your birds. I think this year we'll, you know, still have to work hard, but there's a lot more birds around. Pheasant report is really good. The prairie chicken report is excellent. I mean, excellent. And the sharp tails are, you know, I guess they're about average, which is fine. That's plenty of birds. So I'm excited. I've got my cat dog with me and Ruby. They're up front. And I've got Shaq and Blue in the back. And, you know, it's 37 degrees and the wind right now is blowing pretty good. It's probably about 20 gusts of 35 or so, which may not sound good to a lot of you, but one thing that does, it localizes the birds, doesn't it? They'll be on the downwind side of the hills, they'll be in the shrubs, they'll be in the coulees, they'll be in the bushes, and, you know, that's a good deal. I mean, we can't be hunting in San Diego weather every day. So I'm real excited. I'm driving out to a new spot, and I'm just kind of scanning the horizon to see the birds coming off the feed and see if I can spot a few flocks of them. And I fully expect to. I've got about another 10 or 15 miles to go before I get to the area I want to hunt. And it's a walk-in area. Of course, South Dakota has hunter walk-in areas, which are the state pays the ranchers for access. And so when you buy your license, you can, you know, hunt basically private land. So it's a great way to do it. Well, I'm going to take a short break. I'll be back in a little bit. So as I'm driving out, let's take care of a few administrative details here. I'll be using my 28 gauge out here, and, you know, normally I use a 20. Been using a 20 for a lot of years. I fell in love with my little 28 though, and I really like it. I use it on everything. So today I may be a little bit undergunned because of the wind. We'll see. Either they're going to be hunkered down and I'll be getting easy shots, or they're going to flush 100 yards out. And it could be either way. And actually, it's more likely they'll flush 100 yards out. So, you know, I might not be able to get close enough to them to really be able to use my 28, so I may have to go back to my 20. And I'm using a number 6 shot on these birds, which is a good all-round size shot. Some of the places up here you have to use non-toxic shot. Get ready if you're going to buy non-toxic shot. I bought one box of 28 gauge bismuth shot, and it was $52. You heard me right, $52. Holy cow. Guy said, "You're going to need another box?" And I said, "Nope, I can't afford to miss with this box. Why would I want another one?" But anyway, this, in hunter walk-in areas, you do not need steel shot, and in you know, private land, you don't, of course, and in a lot of most places up here, you don't. But if you're in Corps of Engineer property, like around the lakes, or you're in the waterfowl production areas, you do need steel shot or non-toxic shot. It doesn't matter what you use. All is non-toxic. So anyway, 28 gauge and number 6s is what I'll be shooting today. So I'll give you a report on how that went here in a little while. Well, I'm going to take a minute here and do a little shameless self-promotion. I'd like you to take a look at my sponsors, ESP America, and they are Electronic Shooters Protection America. That's what I wear when I hunt every day, and I will not go in the field without them. They're form-fit, custom-made, and block everything over 90 decibels, so you can protect your hearing for the future, and you can hear your grandkids. So don't be like me, and every other word out of your mouth is what? And I get those looks from my wife all the time now because I did not protect my ears when I was a young man. So go ahead and bite the bullet and buy some excellent ear protection. And if you're going to do that, buy the best there is, and that's espamerica.com. Secondly, take a visit to my blog, which is abirdhuntersthoughts.com. On that blog, it's sort of a landing page. On the right-hand side, you can see where you can link to my books, Endless October and Endless October Season 2. And those are good links to go to Amazon and buy those. You can link back to the podcast, and you can link to my YouTube channel. And my YouTube channel is A Bird Hunter's Thoughts, amazingly. A Bird Hunter's Thoughts, and I do YouTube videos. I started last year, did YouTube videos of each one of my hunts, and I'm actually doing one of this hunt as well. And you can go there and watch those videos. I do recommendations. I do videos of recommended products as well. So I am an Amazon affiliate, just FYI, and also I am looking for more subscribers so that I can actually get more involved in monetizing my YouTube videos. So if you would, go ahead and like, subscribe, and share, and subscribe to my YouTube channel. Okay, so we are about ready to turn off the main road and head on in. So I finally found a good place to put the dog down, and it was 34 degrees, and the wind was blowing hard enough to where it would slam my truck door every time I tried to get it open, so it was a lot. That's my official calculation of the wind speed. So it was cold anyway. It was definitely cold. So I wrapped up in a couple layers of wool and put a gaiter on to get my neck warm, and that seemed to work. And I put Cap down on the ground, and we were working through a cornfield and then down into a ditch with some trees. And he locked down, had a couple pheasant pointed. And, of course, you know, they run right out from underneath. And we had one point run out about 100 yards in front of us and got up, and then another one got up behind us. So that was all we found there. And I went back, put him up, drove to another spot in this walk-in area, and put Shaq down, my other Brittany male. And he found a covey of Huns, and the Huns were not on the top of the hill. It's an old wheat field, and they weren't on the top of the hill, but they were just off the crown of the hill, which is where I expected to find them. And Shaq pointed them just as pretty as you please, and they didn't give me much of a chance. So my little 28 couldn't reach them, and they took off. So we worked down a tree line, and he pointed two more roosters, and once again, they got up way out. These guys are... The dumb ones are dead, let me put it that way. So these boys have survived being shot at and pointed by dogs and everything else. But anyway, it was a lot of fun. It's about 3:30 in the afternoon now. I'm going to head on down to another spot I know way south and check it out. I've got some friends coming in, and they're going to want to go out and hunt. So I'll check that out and make it back to town just in time for dinner. And I'll let you know how that goes. Well, we're on the scoreboard. Yesterday we went to two different places that were dry for pheasant. One place we made an early cast out looking for chickens or sharps. That was dry, and then at 10 o'clock rolled around, which is the time you could start hunting pheasant in South Dakota. So right there was a nice pond with cattails, and we made a loop around that. I would have bet there were roosters in there, but there was nothing, so that's the second one. Then we went to another place, actually three, went to another place and wandered around, didn't find anything, and went to a fourth place that was recommended to me by a friend, and we worked up through a tree line, and we had a blocker on the other end. without a dog, and it was just too much area. And those birds have been, they've been hunted every day probably. He said he saw 10 roosters, but one of them came out, 10, five came out one side, five came out the other side, and we never got a shot, although we chased on down, chased a group down, and never did find them. And then we turned our, went to another area that was recommended by a friend. It turns out we hit the mother load. It was just incredible. We fought our way through some, like a marshy bottom with reeds and stuff, and wore our dogs out, got to the other side, and there was a lady there watching us, and she said, "Hey, the birds are over there." It was great. And shout out to Maggie. Hey, Maggie. And we went to where she pointed, and one guy got one end of the tree line, and one guy, and I went to the other end. Then while another guy, one of the other guys I was talking with, went back to get the trucks, or a truck, so we could meet up again. And we started walking down there, and I saw birds coming out. I must have seen 30 or 40 pheasant, half of them roosters at least, heading out the back of that tree line, crossing a road into a cornfield. And so I walked over to the end, and they were flying all around me, getting up at my feet, getting flying over the top. Shaq was pointing them. They were getting up and flying, and it was like a veritable embarrassment of riches. So I didn't shoot at any of them, and the reason is because I would have had to shoot shot over the road, and I'm not comfortable with that. And I was hoping that one of them would fly back in an area where I was clear to shoot. I was kind of in a confined area, so I didn't shoot at any of them, but it would have been easy pretty much to get a limit right there. The other guy I was with on the other end had plenty of open space to shoot, and he knocked two of them down. So that was just exciting. It was about noontime. Then another friend of mine arrived from Wyoming, and he wanted to go hunt prairie chickens. So we left the pheasant crowd to go up and hunt another area that we'd heard about. It was actually a game production area, and it was right on the edge of the lake, Lake Oahe, which is made up by the dammed Missouri River, where the dam's right here in South, and near Pier. And so they went up there, and they had a good time. And that's always sort of a little honey hole I've had. They heard about it from somebody else. So they went up there and had a good time and knocked out some birds. And my buddy and I went and looking for prairie chickens. And we were really just going to let his dog stretch her legs. She is just a beautiful white pointer. It's just made for big country. And so we were up there. She was stretching her legs, and I had a dog stretching his legs. And we kind of wandered into an area I thought, and Gary thought looked good too. We went down there. Sure enough, got a covey of chickens up, and he dropped one. His dog got a retrieve on it. Then we went sort of in the direction they flew, realizing that if these birds have been shot at before, and if they've been pressured before, that they're not going to hang around. They will leave the country. But they didn't look like, for some reason to me, they didn't look like they really knew what they were doing. I don't think they'd been pressured, and I think we were the first people that ever really shot into them. But we chased them up into the hills, and lo and behold, we walked right back into them, and I got another one. Great. Great big old bull, man, I tell you. He's a beautiful bird. So anyway, we both got a chicken, and when you start finding what you're looking for and harvesting those birds, putting them in the bird bag, makes everything look a lot better. So second day here, we got some birds in the bucket, and today we're headed back out to look for chickens, and we're going to be in an area where there may be some pheasant as well. So we've got four people today. The pheasant hunters are going with us, and Gary and I are going to be looking for chickens. We've got a pretty good area we're looking for, and sort of a new area to me, so it ought to be interesting.
Yeah, we made one cast this morning, and didn't find anything with a cap. And then made another cast with Shaq. He pointed hard in the bottom. I knew those birds were around, but about 100 yards up the hill, three of them flushed out. So we're moving to another spot, and out of a sunflower field, 30 birds came, and we watched where they landed. And they landed in a place we could hunt, so we went over there. And they were just wild, man. We actually, the dogs got so excited, they literally busted them up, so we didn't get a shot at them. So that was on me, I guess. But now we're at another spot, and I got Blue back out again, and we're going to give him another shot because he didn't do too good on that first set of birds. But it's sunny, about 45 degrees. Winds out of the southeast, and it's just an incredibly beautiful day. So we're going to make a big long cast here and then call it a day. Well, we're on the scoreboard. We got out where in the past years I found a pretty good covey in, or group, or grumbling of grouse. And they were all spread out feeding. Initially, Blue lost his mind, ran around a million miles an hour. And finally, I just let him chase him. He came back suitably cowed, and then he pointed one for me and dropped it and retrieved it. And that was great. That was perfect. So there were about, oh my gosh, there must have been 20 birds total in that group. And you know, they're getting up way out. Some of them are getting up closer, but most of them are getting out at 50 to 100 yards. And there goes another group. Okay, I'm gonna be busy here in a little bit. Well, that covey got up, gave us a slip. They didn't give us a chance. Plus wild, and then another covey got up on the hillside, and same thing, never got a shot. So I'm circling back. We both shot at a bird earlier and knocked a leg down. It flew, probably 400 or 500 yards. We both thought we saw it go down hard, so maybe it died. So I'm swinging back around and going to give that a shot, try to see if I can find that bird. And definitely don't want to leave a wounded bird out here. So that's just so gorgeous out here. Sun's going down. Yeah, only a couple hours yet, but wind's starting to die. It's cool enough to make my nose run. And I've always maintained that if you don't have cold fingers and a runny nose, you're not having a good time. So I guess I'm having a great time. Got to tell you that in the interim, Blue pointed hard in the bottom down there on the way to a water hole, and no birds got up. They don't allow you to kick them up. These birds will get up 15, 20 yards from you. And, hey, bub. So he pointed, and I was kicking around. This is weird. And all of a sudden, a big old coyote, a big old boy got up between me and him, and I'm only maybe 6 feet from him, and took off. Well, Blue went after him, and I'm yelling, no, no, no. And I saw that it was pretty cool. He was running neck and neck with his coyote. He literally threw his shoulder into him. And I said, oh boy, here we go. They're going to get into it now. But he finally understood that I didn't want to be doing that, and he turned away, and the coyote took off. But I'd never had one of my dogs point a coyote before. That was interesting. You know, knucklehead Blue thinks he's going to take it. Anyway. What a morning. So today it's supposed to be 18 miles an hour wind, gusting to 20, and then it goes up to 25, gusting to 40 by noon, and then it starts dropping off. So it was 36 degrees and about 20 miles an hour worth of wind when I got up this morning. I went out to water the dogs, and my buddy's leaving to go back to Wyoming this morning, so we were going to make a quick morning hunt. And I got out there and was watering the dogs, let Ruby out, and she had some gastric distress, shall we say. And it took me a while to clean that up. And now that's always a fun thing to experience first thing in the morning. But anyway, she's, I know what happened. She ate some innards and guts that some hunters have been leaving by the parking spot. Man, it got to her a little bit there. So she's fine now. But anyway, we got out and started hunting. Went to a place that I know is just one of my favorite places ever. And it was going to be about an hour and a half cast, so that would work out perfect. We got here just right as the sun came up. And we started out, had Shaq on the ground. It was just doing a wonderful job. Great job. But we didn't find any birds. Came back to the truck after about an hour and a half. And we're sitting there kind of, you know, watering the dogs and getting everything packed up and stuff. And buddy's fixing to leave. And right over our heads fly, between 30 and 40 chickens came out of the field across the road, flew right over, right in front of us a little bit. And flew out into a flat where I was expecting to find them and land it. I mean, 150, maybe 200 yards away, we're looking at them. So they're in the grass. He looks at me and he says, "You know, we got to go chase them." I said, "Sure." So I put Cap out. You know, he's absolutely the best dog in a situation like this. And we went out there and we got within about 75 yards. And they got up like a covey of quail. That was amazing. We never had a shot, so we swept the area anyway just to see if, you know, they left behind a stupid one, but they didn't, and it was cool. Watched them fly. They didn't go out of sight either. We watched them fly. They went about a half mile, three quarters of a mile. I saw where they went down, so my buddy left to go home, and I've packed up the dogs and everything. I'm going to go back into town and mill around and go hunt pheasant this afternoon with my friend, my other friend from Arizona that's up here. And so between now and then, we're not going to start hunting pheasant until about 1 o'clock when the winds start to die down. They're going to reach their peak between 11 and 12. So I got a few hours to kill, and I'm going to do a little shopping, a little driving around looking for places to hunt. And I'm going to drive down there where those birds landed as well. And I'm going to take a look at them, see what there is to see. I know about where they are. I might just jump out and walk through that area, see. Maybe I can surprise them, but not likely. When the wind's this bad and as a bigger group like that, they'll land and, you know, you got 40 pairs of eyes looking out and all it takes is one of them to spot you and boom, they all go at once. So big windy day like this, the odds of sneaking up on these birds is almost nil, but we'll give it a shot and see how that goes.
Some pheasant. It is blowing. Oh my gosh. So got a buddy, my buddy from Arizona's here, and my friend from Pier is taking us out to some private land to bust up a few pheasant. I might be under gun with my 28 just because this wind is horrendous. I may switch over to my 20 and put a tighter choke in that thing, but I don't know if give it a shot or not. I might as well just try with the 28 and see how that works. But, you know, it should be interesting. I don't know if you can hear the wind in the background, but it's blowing the truck all over the road. So this ought to be fun. Well, that was a little bit of fun. I put blue down and we hit it's private land, we hit just a cattail slough, kind of a small little wet area, and the wind is blowing so hard, it's working to our advantage. They can't hear us coming as well as normal. So we actually got close to them. I dropped one, and the other guys really never got shots, but we're moving to a different place. And, I think we saw probably 10 roosters that got up out of there, but yesterday these guys got 300 roosters or pheasants out of this next place. So looking for big things. I did change over to my 20 gauge. I could have dropped this one with a 28. It was so close, but I did drop, moved over to my 20 for this evolution. And pheasants are, they probably deserve a little bit more shot, a little bigger shot too. So I'm pretty happy with that. And had to get out my Benelli. And actually, I think I'm going to go back to my double gauge 20. But it's pretty much open choke. So I'm going to see how it goes here and see what happens. If I have to shoot and get a bird into the wind and I need a more tight choke, then I'll stick with what I got. But my other ones fixed chokes, and they're pretty open. So it turns out I could have used my 28 after all. I had three pheasant that were, you know, I mean, my gosh, I walked into eight or ten birds got up, and most of them were roosters, and I mean, I don't think any of them were more than 20 feet away. It was just easy pickings, and so I got my three, and, you know, clean birds, and knocked off. We were done by 1:30 in the afternoon. That was after hunting chickens in the morning, so plenty of roosters here. It's gotten to where on public land you're going to have to work a little bit more to get them, but it shouldn't be a problem getting your limit of three. So I know the prairie chickens are just wild as all get out with this wind. Wind got up to about gusts of 40 and 45 today, and it was about temperature-wise, it was only about 45 degrees, but, you know, when you got 40-mile-an-hour winds, so that... it was chilly. I had a pile of clothing on. So anyway, we're done. It's only 3:50 in the afternoon, and nice, beautiful, sunny day. The wind's starting to die down a little bit. And I'm actually headed into town. I'm going to make a pheasant fritters for my friends whose house I'm staying at. And I'm going to get a poblano pepper, cut it in half, take the seeds out. I'm going to lay some cheese in there. And some nice long strip of pheasant meat and a jalapeno pepper, maybe two, and then wrap that entire thing in bacon and put it on the grill until that bacon is done. It won't take too long either. It won't take 3 to 5 minutes probably. And I'm telling you what, that is slap your mama good. It's very good. So anyway, we're going to have that tonight, and we're going to have, it's going to be pheasant and prairie chicken. So I'm heading in town right now to go to the grocery store, which is only about 20 minutes away, and we're going to look forward to doing some more pheasant hunting tomorrow, and if we get done early, I'm going back out and look for some more chickens. Again this morning, I got up, it was 23 degrees, and I had ice on the inside of my truck. Go figure. Well, you know, I have the dog. Ruby's here in the back seat in her crate, covered crate, so she stays warm because the back dog's in the back, even though the sliding window's open through to the cab. They've got a heater back there with them, and they stay nice and toasty, and then Ruby doesn't get much overflow heat into the front of the truck, so I keep her in a kennel, but it's got a crate cover, one of those duff ones that's real thick. And so anyway, I guess her respiration and everything froze up. It was interesting. So we're headed out now. It's warmed up to 25 degrees, and winds are only about 20 miles an hour. So it should be a good day. We're heading out east to some public land where there's big, it's a big beast. They've got pheasant and prairie chickens and maybe some sharptails too. So we'll see. Mixed bag today. It's overcast. Had some snow this morning, but just a trace. Doesn't look like there's anything out in the fields. It's always nice to just get a little bit of trace of snow, not too much to be a problem, but just enough to see the pheasant tracks, because you know they're new this morning, that kind of thing. But we'll see what happens. Once again, I think John's going to use his labs, and since they're both coming into heat, all my males are going to my males are going to have to stay inside the truck, which is okay with me. They could use a couple days off, but anyway, we'll see what happens. Well, that was a long nature walk in the cold. Oh, boy. I'm glad I got this gator. I got it from, gator's that neck thing. You put it on your neck and it covers up your mouth and ears and everything else. I got it from Duckwork. It's made out of merino wool. Well, that's nice. But that wasn't an ad for them. That's just, I like their stuff. And I have, I guess they're like undershirts. And got a jacket that they sell with wool lining. Whew, boy, that is nice. I had to save up for that one though. But anyway, it was a good walk. I had everything: tree lines, CRP grass, hills, had it all. So, and it's hard up against a big old cut cornfield, so it should be in here. Saw a couple roosters. It got up. I think probably it was hammered pretty hard over the weekend. Those birds aren't back yet, or else they might still be in there feeding in the corn. So we're moving to a different spot. Well, that wrapped up my trip to South Dakota. I'm on my way back now and going through. I had to leave. Really pretty much, probably could have stretched it one more day, probably could have left tomorrow morning, but they're calling for 6.5 inches of nastiness coming in tonight, starting tonight. So I'm probably going to run out by the weather more than anything else. And they're talking ice and snow and, you know, all the usual stuff. So I decided to bail out maybe a day early. But I had a good time, harvested some prairie chickens and some roosters, and we met some good people, Gary from Wyoming and Dan and Jen from Colorado, Wally and Dibia's wife from Arizona, and stayed with John and Leslie there in South Dakota, and so it was just a really good time. I sure do want to thank everybody. I had a blast, and have a shout out to William and Debbie from North Carolina. They were up there hunting for roosters, and actually we ran into them a couple times. Saw their truck, saw them hunting a couple times up there. They were giving it all they were worth. I hope they had a successful hunt. Well, don't forget to check out my sponsor, ESPAmerica.com, Electronic Shooter Protection America, and go ahead to my blog, abirdhuntersthoughts.com. On the right-hand side, you can click support and just support in any, even a small amount, will be fine, and I would really appreciate that. And I thank those people that are doing that already. So anyway, be the man your dog thinks you are, and until next time.